January the 1st of this new year and new millennium marked the beginning of the fifth year that the Batemans have served as President and First Lady of BYU. They have been introduced from this pulpit and other pulpits at BYU many times in the past 4 years. By now you know that President and Sister Bateman have been sweethearts since their days at American Fork High School. They have taken their family to West Africa, England, Japan, and a number of places in the United States. Indeed, President Bateman calculated that in their first 20 years of marriage, they moved 19 times. President Bateman gives most of the credit to Sister Bateman for helping his family cope with the challenges of so many moves, as well as the normal complexities of raising a family of 7 active children. Sister Bateman is a woman of great faith and of uncommon common sense. She possesses a warmth and a sense of humor that seem to provide a great stability to her family. Sister Bateman continues to exude warmth and strength in her role as BYU's First Lady. I'll never forget how she handled with serenity and aplomb one of her first speaking assignments here in the Marriott Center. The teleprompter had been adjusted to accommodate the 6'2" President Bateman, so that when 5'2" Sister Bateman got up to speak first, she couldn't see the text. Without skipping a beat, she rose to her full tiptoe capacity and calmly delivered a wonderful address for what must have been 15 increasingly uncomfortable minutes. When I asked her about it later, she admitted that she had been uncomfortable, but it was in a rather matter-of-fact, I've seen worse kind of tone. We will hear now from Sister Bateman.
It is the beginning of a new year and a new century, and we here at BYU are so blessed to have this opportunity. One afternoon while I was driving around town, I had my CD player playing in the car, a collection of Andrew Lloyd Webber's songs, sung by Sarah Brightman. I was preoccupied with the traffic, so the music mostly provided a soothing background. At one point, though, the lyrics of one of the songs caught my attention, and immediately I felt moved by the sentiment of these words. Love, love changes everything, hands and faces, earth and sky. Love, love changes everything, how you live and how you die. I know that these lyrics refer to romantic love, but I couldn't help but reflect that in relation to the gift of charity, love really does change everything. When we are possessed of Christ-like love, the way we feel about ourselves, and the way we feel about others, and even the way we experience reality is altered. But Christ-like love isn't the giddy wave of affection we often associate with romantic love. It is something much more subtle, something deeper. It is a love that does not alter with our moods or with external circumstances. One of the best and most well-known descriptions we have of Christ-like love is found in Moroni chapter 7, verses 45 through 47. Here, Mormon states, "Charity suffereth long and is kind, and envieth not and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own and is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things." When we really analyze all the attributes of Christ-like love, they can seem a tall order. The passage may cause us to pause and ask ourselves if we manifest each of these qualities. Am I long-suffering? Am I kind? And am I humble? Do I think of others first? Do I hold my temper? But we need to remember that charity is a gift. These attributes are not simply a to-do list. They are a description of the way we will be if we are fully possessed of this gift. The gift of charity comes from the Savior, and it is possible because of His atonement. It isn't necessarily something we develop. Rather, charity is something bestowed upon us. And when we possess charity, all of our human natural tendencies are transformed, and we relate to others in a new way. The prophet Mormon admonishes us to earnestly seek this gift of love. He states, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love, which he hath bestowed upon all those who are true followers of his Son." This gift comes, then, through earnest supplication. It comes through our faith and hope in Christ. This kind of love builds in us over a lifetime. It grows gradually as our faith in Christ grows. And when we are fully possessed of it, Mormon tells us, we become even as Christ, that he shall appear, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Christ-like love helps us overcome our natural fear of others. We may fear differences, we may worry about being hurt or slighted, but Christ-like love is beyond fear. It reaches across the divide of difference. It is in our nature to serve our own interests or the interests of those closest to us. But charity takes us beyond our comfort zone. Suddenly, we are less worried about whether others will approve of us. Our concern flows towards them regardless of their feelings for us. Our family has had the opportunity to live overseas. And at times, I have felt a strain from those who speak a language other than my own. It can be difficult to relate to someone whose daily habits and customs feel alien, and the distance between us can seem wide. But when I see a mother hold and soothe her baby, an impression of recognition comes over me, and I realize that she feels just as I feel. I realize that we are the same. Likewise, on many occasions, I have attended church meetings conducted in languages other than my own. It amazes me that even though I do not understand what is being said, I feel the Spirit testify of God's love for these saints. How remarkable it is to sit with a group of saints singing a hymn in Japanese and realize that we share the same faith and hope in the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. At these moments, in spite of our superficial differences, we are one. Part of having Christ-like love is this recognition of our affinities with one another. The gift of charity teaches us who we are. It teaches us who others are. The Apostle Paul testifies that we are all children of God and that his desire for us is that we be exalted together. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, and if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Through the power of Christ's atonement, we can come to recognize the powerful spiritual kinship we share with all people on the earth. And as we grow in this understanding, we can't help but be filled with a sincere love and concern for those we are asked to serve. But we need Christ to help us realize this love and perspective. We cannot achieve it on our own. Ken Mochizuki relates the story of Chien Sugihara, a Japanese diplomat in Lithuania during World War II, who, against the orders of his government, granted emergency visas to thousands of Jewish refugees fleeing from Poland. Shortly after the Nazis invaded Poland, hundreds of Jewish refugees gathered outside the embassy in Lithuania, entreating Mr. Sugihara for visas to give them safe passage out of Eastern Europe. Three times Mr. Sugihara petitioned the Japanese government for permission to grant the visas. Three times his government answered no. After the third time, Mr. Sugihara told his wife, "I have to do something. I may have to obey my government, but if I don't, I will be disobeying God." And over the course of a month, Mr. Sugihara wrote out thousands of visas in his own hand so that no other person would be held responsible. Later, Mr. Sugihara and his family were imprisoned for 18 months in a Soviet internment camp. And after he returned to Japan, he was forced to resign from diplomatic service. This man sought not his own safety, his own reward, but sacrificed on behalf of people he did not even know. These people had little in common with him culturally, religiously, or racially, but they were people to whom he felt bound by a higher impulse, an impulse grounded in moral understanding and unselfish love. Are we willing to sacrifice personal position, comfort, and safety for our brothers and sisters? Do we pray for this kind of faith and love? Mr. Sugihara's actions were prompted by extreme circumstances, and the personal implications of his choices were severe. We may never be called to make such dramatic sacrifices on behalf of others, but we too are daily met with choices that compel us to put aside personal comfort or gain for the sake of others. The gospel of Jesus Christ challenges us to be ready to make these choices well. All of us struggle with tendencies that would keep us from choosing to serve and love others as Christ would. It isn't easy to see past ourselves. It isn't always easy to open our hearts. We may find ourselves feeling envious of people at times or wishing that we had more. But if truly we had love, pure love, we would see things differently. At times we may be blind to the feelings and need of others and may need to be taught to see. We must pray continually for such discernment, conscientiousness, and humility. In short, we need to pray for charity, which is the pure love of Christ. In 1 Timothy 1:5, Paul explains that God blesses us with the gift of charity when we have a pure heart, a clear conscience, and faith in the Savior. He explains, "Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of love unfeigned." The Lord will not bless us with charity without a pure heart. This means that we must have righteous desires. The Lord will not bless us with charity without a clear conscience. This means that we must be repentant, that our minds and our thoughts are not compromised by excuses, lies, or delusions. And finally, He will not bless us with the gift of charity if we lack faith. This means that we must believe steadfastly in Christ's atonement and its power to change us. If we continue earnestly with faith and hope in Christ to seek the gift of charity, it will be granted to us. We will be filled with the love of God and of people. Paul promises that as we attain this gift, so will we receive of the fullness of God's love, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Brothers and sisters, I pray that we may seek for this fullness, this love, this pure love of Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.